Hey, I apologise that I was a couple of minutes late.
Well, yeah, why were you?
Because I'm doing...
we're actually recording on a public holiday.
Yeah.
Which is unusual for us.
If you hear the door going, that's the producer leaving us in the room alone. Didn't close the door.
Door shut now.
I'm having this thing where, you know, you do, if you do, if you send it...
Was there no traffic, by the way?
No traffic. Fantastic. Got here, I was probably 10 minutes early. And then I sat in the car and I think, oh, I'll just catch up with my emails and my texts. And there's this thing where you go, I sent a funny one, then they send a funny one back.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to then send a funny keep on going, a funny? How going. Far does the funniness go?
Yeah.
And then look, I know this is indulgent, but when you get into a rally with Mick Malloy, you've got to be on your game.
Yeah, I do it with Sam Pang.
Sam Pang, yeah. He's so good.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, gee. And so you have to really think about how you...
Just do some of those showstopper ones. Who is this? That's what I always do. Sorry, who is this?
Yeah, I got Sam the other day on with a golf trip, one of him standing looking very, well, let's just say he didn't look like a manly golfer the way he was standing. And he went, touche, you win. And so that was good. But it's just that
it's
thing...
A full stop.
It's a full stop. Mm. Yeah, so if someone says you win, but you know what's interesting... Is if no, it's not that interesting. The counter punch is a lot stronger than the punch. If I have a crack at you, I am wide open. Then this is what I say to people who are butting.
But we don't do that zinging back and forth.
And you and I
don't. No, but and I don't do that with like Husey, for example, who I communicate a fair bit. But I do it with Sam Pang.
Yeah, but Sam
loves it.
He loves it. So you have a different mindset with these.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
The king of zing, I call him. Ah, the king of zing.
And Mick sent me a photograph.
Mick's just, similar too, though.
He's similar.
He?
He's always having a crack.
Yeah.
And there's nothing off. There's nothing out of bounds.
No.
Oh, but thanks, by the way, for putting me on national radio the other day.
Oh yeah, with you.
You should
farting.
Explain what you. I happened to hear it in the car.
Did you hear
just
it?
Just bring people up to speed.
Oh, okay. So I do another podcast called The Debrief, where I talk to comedians after and before a gig, and you were on it with Peter Rosethorne when we're in Byron Bay. We've talked about Byron Bay on this podcast before. And you broke wind. Well, Pete started it because he would hold the mic down between his legs and break wind, and then you did it. And then because when I got Mick Malloy's radio show on Triple M, he's always looking for any stories about you. Have you got any Glenn stories? He actually says on air. No time for preparation. Have you got any Glenn stories? So I thought, oh, this time. And the producer had heard it as well. So
she'd already heard it.
Yeah.
So then it was all out of context because in context it all made sense.
Oh, fine.
It was out of context and, you know,
was
so...
Was it still funny, though?
It was very funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was very funny. You know, as much as to my chagrin. What does chagrin mean?
Yeah, annoyance, isn't it? My chagrin.
Chagrin. It was pretty funny. But it did sound a bit boysy, a bit juvenile. But, you know, what did you say? You don't pay or you had a catchphrase. Get it for free or something? What's the catchphrase?
Podcast, yeah, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Yeah, there you go. You get what you get. Now, that means that because you're getting it free, you can't complain. Is that what you're saying?
I can't believe it when people go on podcast forums and goes, oh, this level was like, mate.
You get what you get.
You don't get upset. Yeah, exactly. Here comes the music. You're about to get something for free. Don't get upset.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yes, and welcome to the podcast.
Somehow related.
What a concept. It's taking off. Two topics, and you just got to work out how they're related. Pretty easy.
It's like, I don't know, it isn't, because when I listen to the debrief, it's like going on a trip with two people that I quite enjoy. And this is like being a third wheel in the conversation. We probably should, I don't know how we do this, but it would be interesting. Maybe if we put them, we can't though. Put them out there first, and then people could write in and say what they think it
suggestions.
Is. Suggestions of what it could be, and we could read them out. But we can't really do that because that would we'd have to hire some people to do that because we don't want to hear what they are because we want to keep it real. Dude.
And also, we earn so much money from it. We want to keep all that money for ourselves. We can't hire people. I'm being sarcastic. Shall we get the topics? Here we go.
Away you go.
Spaghetti and people smugglers.
Well.
Wow,
one of my favorite topics is
people smuggling. You're always banging on about it. It's your side project. No spaghetti. Oh, how much do you love spaghetti? Do you love spaghetti?
I love spaghetti. It doesn't love me though. I talk about a lot of things
on your food map. Your food.
Well, I can have a bit of it, but too much of it gives me...
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of starch, isn't it?
Oh, I just love it. I don't know. You know, we have it a lot at home because the kids like it.
Well, it's a standard thing for kids. Families. Spaghetti. Do you say bolognese or bolognese?
A bolognese.
Bolognese, which is the Italian
I'd probably make it about once a week, bolognese.
And I think, is that the first dish that everyone kind of learns to make?
Yes, it's a very easy dish to make. So, I can make it in 10 minutes.
Now. Bang us up. I'll go with the onion.
Okay, yeah, run us through it.
Then you throw your onion in, brown that off.
Chrissy Swan gave me a secret ingredient. I'll tell you later, go.
Yeah, and then you put the meat in to throw that around. Then you throw in your oreganos and your Italian spices, some spaghetti paste, and then a tin of, not spaghetti, tomato paste, and then a tin of tomatoes.
So you're not going
pepper and sugar.
Oh, yeah, a bit of sugar's good. So you're not going any other veggies? You're not going any other veggies?
Well, then you're messing with perfection.
I know, but with kids and that, you want to get veggies in there. So I always go onion, garlic, celery, carrot,
garlic, of course.
Mushroom.
Yep.
And, the meat.
Cooking with Dave.
Yeah, and then this is what Chrissy Swan, friend of the show, bacon. Yeah. Chuck a bit of bacon in. But you don't want to get bacon that's too aromatic or smoked because then it just makes the whole spaghetti taste smoked.
Yeah, see, I think you're bringing in a protagonist. You're bringing in a lead player. Like bacon may trump your meat.
Yeah, but, you know, if you go to what mince do you use if you would make
some? Well, you go in top end, don't you? Well, what do you mean by mince?
Beef or pork or lamb or
I'd be going beef.
Yeah, I'd go beef too, but if you go and have spaghetti at an Italian restaurant, it'll be a mixture of pork and beef.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's often pork. That's why bacon makes it. That's why you go, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you go, wow, the bolognese is really, I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Would you go to a restaurant and order bolognese, though?
I do, embarrassingly.
Yeah, I love
it. But I love it. Just quietly go about it and do it. You know what I probably reckon is a Trump, Donald Trump, is spaghetti and meatballs. As I've said before, anything in a ball, anything in a ball, as we know. It punches above its weight.
I make chicken meatballs.
Well, you got chicken, you got veal balls, you got
fish balls.
But you have to ration your balls because if you've got don't eat all your balls before all your spaghetti.
I know. Do you break down the ball?
Depends how firm they are. If they're a good ball, but you don't want them drying too hard. You want a sort of mixture of moisture. And this is interesting. Mm. I learned this is probably the first table manners I learned, which was a little bit of spaghetti. Into the spoon, turn it, and then. So, how do you get your spaghetti onto it?
I turn it.
You shovel it on the bottom. Did you turn it on the bottom of the plate or into a spoon?
No, not into a spoon, onto the plate. Do you do it into a spoon?
I'll try it with a spoon. You won't go back. Seriously.
Have you ever wondered about the etiquette about eating stuff when, you know, when everyone gets served the stuff and, you know, you're waiting for people?
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me this. They sat next to Prince Charles once at a function and they said, I've always wanted to know this. Charles, what's the etiquette with eating when some people have got meals and some people haven't got meals? He goes, the etiquette is if it's cold, if it's a cold entree, you wait for everyone to get it and then you eat it. Mm. If it's hot, you eat it when you want. That's Prince Charles. Prince Charles.
This is, I'm sitting next to the Queen. Mine comes, hers doesn't, right?
Your spaghetti comes, get into it.
Yeah, I go, excuse me, Queen, can you pass? I lean across.
Pass the parmesan.
Can I have the parmesan? You can eat that bread roll. Yeah. Can I have your bed roll? Because it looks like you're going
to Charles, your son told us it's fine to eat it. It's hot.
This wine's beautiful too, Queenie. Do you like it? Because if you're the Queen, and here's another thing. This is interesting. Would the Queen roll it up or would she do the suck thing? Because I find it quite offensive when people do the suck thing.
Mm.
You know, when they have a few tangly
kids
bits.
Kids do that.
And they suck it up and then it becomes like a whip.
Yeah.
And it goes zzzz. And you can whip spaghetti sauce across the room.
Oh, yeah, it's messy. You know, I'm gonna go one up from the ball. Okay, I love bolognese and I love meatballs, but there's something above that I love even more: seafood, marinara spaghetti.
Ooh. Yeah, I like it, it's a bit of a
How do they, when all the shells come out, you got to work hard to get your dinner.
It's a kit for a meal. It's not a meal.
You know when they bring out the second bowl and you're like, oh no.
But whatever, you got things in
crabs,
shells. You got a head on your prawn. You're going. You should do the work for me. Get out there. You're a chef. You're on MasterChef. You know what you're doing.
Don't they all just arrive frozen in a plastic packet?
See, it's a bit of a roll of the dice, though, because there could be something in there that you go, I don't know what that is.
Oh, I know.
What is that? There's a little bit of white thing. It's usually calamari.
Yeah.
I just find that...
I love a bit of seafood pasta. That's probably one of my favourite meals.
I would like a prawn, but that's it.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah, like...
With chilli.
Oh.
Stop putting. You're looking down.
Love prawns. There's on this very street where we're recording, there is a seafood shop up here, and they sell good seafood. And sometimes I just get like 8 prawns for lunch. Oh, yum. Is that bad for you?
How do you get them?
Oh, they're already cooked. So, you know, when they catch prawns, sometimes they throw them straight into boiling water and cook them straight away.
Yeah.
They're already cooked, and so I just peel them and eat them with some salad. Is that a bad lunch or is that a good lunch?
Oh, I hate to say it, but from what I remember, it's got a lot of cholesterol, haven't it?
Okay. Well, I've got very low cholesterol.
Yeah, you're fine then.
Okay.
But, you know.
Get into it.
Oh, but who cares what it is if you're enjoying it?
But spaghetti, do you remember spaghetti was introduced? Because I remember my mum cooking it in the late 70s and her making it, this is spaghetti.
Oh, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was like this. And when you have a dinner party, she'd make spaghetti bolognese for the neighbours.
I remember sitting around and they had pizza. And I went, what's that? And she goes, would you like to try it a little bit? I remember getting a little corner.
Where do you reckon they got the pizza from? Sure, she made it.
Maybe old she school. Made it, or someone, maybe a friend made it or something, but it was really exotic.
Yeah.
It was real, and it was probably pretty simple.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling very special because I'd had a bit of pizza. Ooh. I didn't know whether I didn't like it that much.
Oh, my dad would say the same thing after we started having spaghetti in the late, I reckon maybe 1980. And then dad would say, all right, well, that's the entree. What's for mains? Every time. Because he viewed pasta as like an entree dish. He didn't see that as a main
meal. Who was the great, the late, and I say this apologetically, I can't remember his name, the comedian who is not with us anymore, used to work on Tonight Live.
And what, would you have a pasta routine?
He used to, he told me once that he ate pasta until he couldn't breathe anymore.
Oh, my God.
he thought, I'm going to see how much pasta I can eat. And this is just, remember, he was just laying on the floor.
Well, I remember then in the 80s, I remember when I was at Teachers College in the mid 80s, there were these pasta restaurants popped up.
Yeah, Faster Pasta.
Yeah, no. Well, similar to Faster Pasta. But there was one opposite the Teachers College that we went to, and I remember going there on Swanston Street in Melbourne, and it was like a themed pasta restaurant, like a pancake parlor type thing, but with pasta. And then Faster Pasta started. In the 90s, I reckon, Faster Pasta was.
So answer me this. You've been to – I remember having a meal in Rome.
Mm.
And guess what the restaurant was called?
Faster Pastore?
It's called Bolognese. And you're going, seriously? We're in Rome. That's the best you've got, is it? Bolognese.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
And what was the
that's like calling, it's like calling – being in Australia, calling a shop fish and chip shop. What do you do, I guess? It was all right, but it's the question of al dente.
Oh, yeah, because they like to eat it.
Yeah.
When my sister-in-law, who's Swiss, cooks the pasta, it's almost...
Yeah, it's chewy.
Yeah, it's crunchy almost.
Whereas we're verging on soft, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, we like it softer. Yeah, no, I did find that in Italy. Is it that
it's a bit too firm, wasn't it?
Mm, for me, yeah. I like a bit softer.
Yeah, I understand because when it's al dente, it seems to hold its shape better.
Yeah.
And what about all the derivation of it where you got your...
Penne,
then you got your little swirly one, and you got your, and you go, you're just making this one up. There's ones that you go, that looks like a bit of a Meccano set, that bit.
Yeah, did they really have that in Italy, or is it just made up? So.
There's one, the circular one with all bits and pieces going, that's
rubbish.
Cannelloni. That's like you stuff it, don't you?
Stuff in it. Ooh, nice.
But they've got it right, the Italians, they really have.
You know what, pasta. And also, when you have fresh pasta, it's really good.
So like when you go to the supermarket, and I do love going to the supermarket, there's pasta, which is the hard one,
the dried pasta,
and then so fresh pasta is soft, yeah.
Yes.
So is it soft?
Not in the fridge.
It's in the fridge.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I saw the other day someone said to me, she goes, "Oh, I'm having a nice meal tonight. I'm having pea pasta. Have you seen that new one?
Oh, made out of peas.
Made out of peas.
No, because of course when people want to go no carbs, they get like zucchini.
Yeah. Pasta. Maybe I should try it. Yeah. No, you don't think so. You're just going to go there once you go.
I just love pasta. That's why I'm fat. I love pasta.
It is amazing if you do pull pasta. I still remember seeing a friend of mine. He was, no disrespect to you, he was huge.
Yeah.
And he said, and then he'd lost like about 15 kilo. He just said, I took pasta out.
Yeah.
Pasta and bread. And we all know the rules. But having said that, I remember I went vegan. I nearly walked around. I nearly fainted.
Oh, really?
I think you need your carbs.
You went vegan?
For a couple of weeks. You know, we all try different things. You know, you try, you know.
It's a good thing to do. But well, I mean, I love spaghetti. I love pasta. But I don't know what the connection is with people smugglers.
People smugglers. Okay.
I mean, what? I mean, how do you get into that job? You know,
is that a how many? How, is that a recent thing? Is it always going on?
Oh, I think it's.
Would always.
That's a really good question. I think it's become more prevalent now.
Because you couldn't. I mean,
well, when you think about it, there's people smugglers above Australia trying to get people in on boats and stuff, aren't there?
Yeah.
And then there's all the European people smugglers. And then there's the Mexican ones. There's people smugglers everywhere around the world. It's like a, well, they have a conference where they get together and go,
okay.
They shop trucks with hidden trays and stuff, you know, and they have all right, who's got some good ideas for people smuggling? Oh, we got a good one from Mexico. All right, up the front, tell us what you do.
Yeah. It's because you would imagine with borders being so well protected now that
there's more and more.
Yeah, there would have been a time when the borders weren't protected, so we'd be to jump on a boat and over you go. But I still think about that sometimes. I still think if you really wanted to get drugs into a country, if I wanted to bring some drugs in, couldn't I not just get on a yacht, sail from, let's say, from Bali, and say, Dave, I'll meet you up near Gove.
Yeah. Like, people do that, but I think it's quite dangerous.
Because they get checked, yeah?
They get checked. There's patrols, but also the waters. I don't think it's smooth sailing. You know.
Oh, you could get pirates and stuff.
Yeah, pirates, but also just bad weather.
But surely there's... Anyway...
There's always those great. There was that great story where the guys had all the drugs on the container boat and they pushed it overboard down in Anglesey and they were washed up on the beach. They were meant to meet some guy and they didn't meet him and they pushed it overboard on a container ship, like a huge ship.
Well, there was a beach near me that money was floating up.
Money
was floating up.
Whoa.
And a friend of mine saw a $10 bill at the same time another guy did, and she went to pick it up and he went to pick it up at the same time. And she said, I'll take this $10 bill. She didn't know who it was. And said, I'll buy you coffee. And they're still together to this day.
You're joking. No. That's how they met.
It's a good story, isn't it?
Wow, it's better than Tinder or RSVP.
Can you get two tacos? What's a coffee? $4.50? Yeah,
that's a great story.
It's time for a little cake or something.
People smuggling. Well,
generates like billions of dollars around the world.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine anything worse than going... I'm living in hell and I'm about to get on a boat to go to an incredible place, i.e. Australia or the US, I suppose, and then going through what they go through. What was the boat, the big ship that Howard wouldn't let off, where they wouldn't...
Tampa.
Well done. That was horrific. Howard. It was so hard to watch, wasn't
horrific.
It?
Just seeing him all sitting on the deck.
Did you read Undo's book?
No. Is he a refugee? I didn't know that. Being sarcastic.
I think he was, yeah. He came out
on a boat. Yeah, he came out on a boat. So did Hung Lee came out on a boat. Hung Lee was on the front of the Herald Sun.
I remember catching a cab to the airport, you know, and then the cab driver, I said, where are you from? He said, and when did you come here? And then he told me the story.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible.
They often have good stories.
Great stories.
Yeah, they have great stories. They often stay in a refugee camp for a long time and then either decide to get out. But with Undo's story, he came out on a boat, didn't he?
Yeah. That's his book. That was the book of the year.
Refugee.
It's a great book.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I should read it. I know. I did Family Feud and he beat me. Oh, I'm still angry about that. God damn you, Undo.
Where did he learn to paint like that?
Where did he learn to paint? Yeah, I don't know. Someone taught him, didn't he? He taught how to paint.
Oh, yeah, he's very good. He's good at the painting.
He's very good. Now, I don't know. People smuggling, it's... Did you see, there was a great documentary on SBS where they must have given them phone cameras and they followed like four, it was only on last year, four or five different families. And there were these young guys who were like Syrian refugees and they went all the way to like Denmark or somewhere like that and got on a container ship to, smuggled in a container ship to England. And they're just going on these dodgy guys that they meet. You know what I mean? They're always dodgy blokes through other connections. And it's like, you give us $3,000, we'll show you what boat to get on.
Mm.
And they were just on this boat. And then the boat didn't leave. The boat was delayed.
Mm.
And so they're in a container waiting.
Hell.
And then he was so happy. And so then it shows him when the boat's rocking. So they're in the sea. Mm. He's like, oh, we're obviously on the ocean. And then they get to England. They get out. Because once they get to England, they can claim asylum.
Right.
And so they were so happy when they got out of... It was an amazing scene. He just opens up the container, looks out, and he's in like a you know, like a docks sort of area, gets out, and the security guard comes and goes, "Oh, what are you guys doing?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Are we in England?" They're like, "Yeah, you're in England." He's like, "All right, we're claiming asylum."
Does that remember the horrific footage where the boats were smashing on the rocks?
Oh, yeah.
It's just, oh, tragic to watch. It's not good. You know. But it's, there's, I mean, obviously politically it's rife because, you know, we don't want to open the borders, blah, 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 blah. But we all need to hear the individual stories. We need to, I mean, it's not about having to have compassion. There's no doubt you have compassion when you realise that their stories are real they're going through hell. And, you know.
It's amazing. And always, people always say, oh, they're like queue jumpers. But, you know, there is no queue in some of these places. In Afghanistan, there's no embassy where you can go and line up and get a form and go, well, I'm in the queue now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a naive thing to say, but I do wonder whether or not why can't the world get together and why can't we just do it as through the UN? How does the UN get involved with people smugglers?
Yeah, they're obviously involved. You know, they're against it and stuff because that's the problem is that these dodgy guys that run people smuggling are they're like criminals.
So therefore, whatever you do, even above law, this thing's going to like prohibition. It's always going to come back to
where there's a demand, criminals will find a way. Yeah. That's true. It's very true. Very good observation, Glenn.
Yeah.
We should be on Q&I or something like that.
I think it's Q&A. I don't know what that means.
I'll take that as a statement, Glenn. We're people smuggling special. We've got Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill, experts.
Yeah, I'd want to say something that got a round of applause, like we did on your show. You want to say something with that board. You go, oh, I nailed that one. Nailed that one.
Well, the problem with Q&A is that it's kind of serious. And I remember... Hughesy went on it, and the first time he went on it, the first question he gets from Tony Jones is
something a doozy.
Gays in the Olympics. What do you think about gays in the Olympics?
You go,
well, there's no jokes there for a straight white man, is there?
And the job of a comedian is to cross the line.
Yeah.
So I'm not condoning.
And Hughesy's like, yeah, no, I reckon, yeah, good on him. Nah, good on him. It's what can you say?
Yeah, you can, and you know that the audience is waiting for a joke.
Yeah.
So you can't, you can't say that. I mean, we are living in a time appropriately. That our line, the lines that we cross are well governed, so to speak, on social media, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
So it makes us be better versions of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. But sometimes you just got to say what you think, Glenn.
And I do sometimes, and I hear it back and I go, that was inappropriate.
Yeah, well.
So people smugglers.
Spaghetti. Should we have some thinking music?
What are you thinking? I want to go down the spaghetti. I don't want to go down the, let's play a bit from Four Corners.
No, we've got to go down the spaghetti.
Spaghetti ad. Lego. Yeah, open the
spaghetti ad. Can you think of a memorable spaghetti ad?
Well, I remember that. It's that old joke. What do you do when your husband comes home from work and he wants, and he's really hungry for it? I open the Legos. Sorry, but it was on topic. It was on topic.
It's spaghetti.
Any topic goes if I open the Legos. And that was, I think there was didn't Carrie Ann Kennelly do an ad in Italian?
Oh, wow.
Would you like to hear that?
Yeah, I'd love
Carrie Ann speaking it. Oh, how good does this get?
Because she's turned into a very right-wing...
An indigenous problem.
Yeah, she's gone off the planet with some of her views. And she said, what did she say about Bill Shorten? Who, you know, it will ruin everyone's life and all this. It's like, what?
Yeah, well, what's the show called? The Morning Studio 10.
When I was in Sydney once, I saw her yacht catch fire. So we were in Double Bay or something like that, having a sandwich
That's
something.
That's pretty good.
And
how did you know it was Carrie Ann's? It's
read about it in the paper the next day.
Oh, I thought it might have been called Carrie Ann's.
We were just sitting there and, you know, in some of those little harbours, and it's so beautiful in Sydney Harbour.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was this massive fire on this yacht and there were fire trucks. Look at that.
She's obviously been controversial and she's getting paid back.
She's had a bong on there, I reckon. It's tipped over. Carrie Ann's had a bong.
And then...
Get off the yacht, Carrie Ann. It's got fire. Yeah, and it was full on burning.
Okay.
It was Carrie Ann's yacht.
Okay. On a better day.
I set the fire. Whatever.
She was probably making spaghetti bolognese. And she just popped on land to get some garlic. And not the spaghetti. And the ship and the yacht was gone. Do you want to hear a bit of Carrie Ann doing Open the Legos?
È difficile essere divertenti ogni sera in cucina. Ma non se si usa il sugo autentico bolognese della Legos. Non lo schiaffano mica nei vasetti così, no, no, no. Si cuoce a fuoco lento per estrarne il ricco sapore italiano. Scusi. Legos. Si stritti gli occhi, leggi quasi Logis.
Wow, Carrie Ann.
She spoke Italian pretty well. I think there was a whole list of people who did ads for...
There were, you're right. I remember that was 90s, I reckon. 90s or 2000s.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like about...
Do you have a connection, though, between people smuggling and spaghetti? Sorry to say it in an Italian accent. Spaghetti.
I'm thinking, so hungry.
I would so love some spaghetti.
Something that we didn't talk about was that... Where did spaghetti originate? We should have asked Sam this. It's an interesting question.
It's Italian, but it came from China.
Oh, how did you know that?
Oh, we talk about the kids. We talk about this stuff all the time. Marco Polo brought it back. Yeah. That's the rumor.
Oh, God, you know it. And that's the rumor, which that's it's not like true.
I think it is true. I think Marco
Polo. He brought it back to Venice.
And ice cream as
well. That's a long way to go because nowadays you can just get around the corner. What do you want? I'll have a gnocchi. I'll have a spaghetti ball on ice and get some, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. Well, that's what you read in history books that Marco Polo bought it back from China. Marco Polo. Gee, but he must have had a big backpack, wouldn't he, with his ice cream and his pasta.
I'm going to say. Oh, so that's not true, is it? It is true.
I don't know.
I think it's questionable.
It's questionable.
I'm going to say. Do you want to go first?
I think it's a simpler answer in that spaghetti is used to – packets of spaghetti is used to – it's the best way to hide people. I don't know.
To hide what people?
Hide people in the trucks and stuff where they transport them. Yeah.
Like, well, you get a whole
– Well, if you've seen – what's that? Is it Breaking Bad?
Where do I hide? Just hang on to this big – I've got a big pile of spaghetti. What? Uncooked spaghetti?
Packets. Well, in Breaking Bad, they use, what is it, tin tomatoes or something like that on one of those shows to hide people.
Well, and the people smugglers were bringing in, is that how you smuggle people in?
Yeah, in the pasta trucks.
Oh, so you, say trucks. For example, like Mexico or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not thinking boats. I'm thinking trucks. I don't know. I think of that sort of Breaking Bad scenario, that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, I'm going to go that people smugglers were the first people to bring, which is similar to Marco Polo. They were the first people before Marco Polo to bring it from China to Italy. Wow. And it was done in terms of it was a dish that travelled well.
Well, dry pasta does travel well.
That's what I'm saying. So therefore, you could. It's not going to go off, is it? You don't need refrigeration for that. You need some way to cook it. I reckon I'm pretty good on this one.
Okay, Sam, what is the answer?
African smugglers send people and drugs north over the Sahara Desert to the Europe-facing coast rather than make the return trip with an empty truck. They fill it with pasta to earn extra money. Apart from people by weight, pasta is probably the most smuggled product to cross the desert due to food subsidies and tariffs countries in the Sahara region put on food and imported goods. The illegal pasta trade can earn margins of about 30% in the market. Not only is the pasta used for eating, but spaghetti has also been used as way marks stuck upright in the sand. Thanks to TheEconomist.com for this story. Find a link in our show notes.
Well, that is incredible. So the trucks are going there with people in them and coming back with... Well, suppose you've got an empty truck.
But what's the big deal about bringing back pasta?
They sell it for an increased price in these countries because you can't get it in these countries.
So they're getting... What you're saying is they're getting it both ways. They're getting the pasta on the way back.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And that's how the food truck was invented.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, that's interesting.
So it's just dried pasta. It's just huge packets and packets of dried pasta they're bringing back to these countries.
But surely when they get it, they'd have to go, wait a minute, this is just a bit of white flour and water.
We could make that.
Yeah. What's the big deal? Why do we need to put it on a truck for?
I don't know, because maybe a lot of those nations, it's interesting, I was reading about how a lot of those Asian countries are traditionally rice, but some of them are moving more into pasta now. So they're traditional rice countries, but some of them are cooking pasta.
Well, it's all
slowly
up for grabs. I mean, what are noodles?
Yeah, well, that's pasta.
Yeah, So who owns the pasta? I don't know. Whoever, pasta sounds Italian, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's an Italian.
It's Chinese.
Well, originally Chinese, yeah.
So I'm not going to say pasta with a Chinese accent, but it would be pretty funny if I did.
Pasta. Pasta. Yeah. Pasta.
I don't tend to get pasta delivered for a couple of reasons, especially Uber.
I never get food delivered.
Well, if you were going to get anything delivered,
I don't get food delivered full stop.
No, I don't. But
full stop. I don't believe in Uber Eats.
I reckon that you don't get a burger and chips because you know if it gets into an Uber, he's got to have some of your chips. He's got to be poking his hand in the top. You know, if you see I would inspect the bag if I ever got it. I'd go, this has been unwrinkled. This is wrinkled and it's wrinkled up and you've had a couple. You've got a bit of grease around your mouth, mate.
I was driving the other day in inner city Melbourne to go to a gig. I couldn't move through these small streets because of all these bloody people on bicycles and mopeds delivering food to lazy young people who can't get off their ass and go pick up their own takeaway.
Well, a friend of mine's got a restaurant. He said, I have to close for winter because I can't compete with the football on TV and people laying back getting Ubered because people just stay in, watch the footy and get Uber Eats.
Oh, it's terrible.
That's killing restaurants. You know,
I'm not a fan.
But so therefore,
I want on the record, I'm not a fan.
A good dish to probably get then, having said that, hang on. I was going to say pasta, but you could open it up and put your fork in and twirl it around, like I said, and have a few bites of it. You're never going to know, are you?
I wonder if these Uber Eats drivers are taking the people smugglers' tips and putting something in their little bags on the way back.
Oh, right.
They're knocking stuff off the front porch like a pot plant.
Because I always had that theory, which I never understood. If you've got a postman going past, right, he's putting letters in your letterbox.
Yeah.
Why can't you post your letters in your own letterbox?
Oh, they do that in some countries, I think.
In the US, I think they do.
In the US, they do that.
So I'm going to post a letter, to walk out the front and go bang, and go, by the way, you're heading back to the post office? Take this.
Do you talk to your post? Do you know your post?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember. What's his name? We talk to him all the time. He's quite a character.
He's on a motorbike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always up for a chat.
Yeah, with the headphone on. Does he lift up his... Does he speak through the...
He's got the visor. No, he's just got a visor. He pulls up like he's in... Yeah, like a cop or something. Yeah.
It just seems odd, doesn't it? He can't...
Yeah, it's a good idea. Hey, you going back to the depot.
Yeah, you may as well take this with you. Here's this box of drugs I want to sell to some guy up in far north Queensland. Get the job done.
Yeah. You know, I met a guy once whose job was counselling people in the corporate world, and he said, I had a tricky one this morning. This was about 5 years ago. He goes, I went, the guy that used to manage the parcels at like a big depot, like say Werribee Depot or some big post office depot, he goes, he had the cruisiest job for the last 20 years. He gets about 5 parcels a week, right?
Yeah.
Now, eBay has like, he had a nervous breakdown. Because he's just getting hundreds of parcels.
Yeah, of course he's. Yeah.
Oh, you normally used to 5 parcels. Now I got 250 every week.
Yeah.
Not coping.
But you know what I don't like? It's when you're not there, you don't get the parcel, and then they leave a slip. And the other day I got some shampoo sent because I like my quality shampoo.
Not Sexy Land. Not your Sexy Land shampoo.
It was from Sexy Land. And the place that I had to go in, no, this is not.
Oh, yeah, it was further than the post office.
Almost. Yes. I had to go like 2 suburbs to go and pick it up and line up.
We had to go near the airport once because some parcel had to go to some depot in the middle of nowhere.
But it is fun when you line up going, you feel like going, what are you getting?
Oh, yeah, what are you getting?
Do you know what you're getting? Getting a book, aren't I? I'm getting some shampoo.
There's a great Smith and Jones sketch where the two blokes are sitting in a van outside a house and they got the binoculars and they're like, all right, nothing happened. Oh, she's leaving the house. She's leaving the house. And so she leaves the house just to walk down the shop and they run out and they slip that card under the door says, we're sorry, you weren't there.
The amount of times that happens.
Great sketch.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.